gentlemen, we are back after a brief hiatus. It is time once again for the clusterfuck known as PZ85 Plays The Curse of Strahd on the Podzilla 1985 Network. I'm Cody Sadowski. Thank you so much for joining us after our brief respite. I am your game master, but alongside me, the more important components on the other side of the DM screen, it is your party, your cast of characters. Starting first, Blood Hunter extraordinaire Bjorn from the West Coast, it is Kaz.
We hit it at the same time. We both had the same fucking idea.
Cacophony of noise.
We knew it.
All right.
It's cousins.
Yep. Cousins. There you go. Moving on. Fuck me. How do you like him now? Just so I beat him to the punch on the soundboard. It's Rasmus Thomason being played by Double H.
Banging your sister is perverted, Cody.
Dummy. Yeah.
Well, excuse me, princess, but suicide is badass. It's Lindsay Wolfgang playing Zephyr, our resident Eric Genasi. Princess,
why do I keep getting downgraded to princess? I thought I was the queen.
It's true. Your title does say Lindsay the Queen.
Oh, the queen. There getting it is. Downgraded from her title. I just assumed you were saving that one for yourself.
And the man whose ears are still ringing from that chair shot heard around the county last weekend is the creator and co-owner of Podzilla 1985, Shannon Young, playing Aiden Belmont.
When Justin hit me with that chair across the face, all I remember is him looking at me and saying,
"How do you like us now?"
Oh man!
We can't be trusted.
For you PZ85 fans, you'll love
folks,
the fact
if you
that
missed us because I've missed us.
We have live Cody, and then we have
how do you like us now?
Recorded Cody. Also, Cody, can I make a special programming note real quick?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
This Thursday, you will not you will not enjoy a new episode of After Dark. Here's why. Let me explain. I never posted last week's After Dark. I saved it because this Thursday, Diablo 4 releases for the people that have the Ultimate Edition, and I have that. I will be playing Diablo 4. Therefore, you are getting the unheard episode of After Dark from last week. So
also, you recognize that that means that after maybe I guess tomorrow, if we're doing PW, I won't be on another show for like 2 weeks.
Which, you know, is another reason why we've got the last episode, because then everyone's just going to think you're there. They're going to be like, well,
that's right.
But I would have been there this Thursday. I won't be there next week.
We'll just be playing
it's
games
next
instead.
Next week I won't be
We'll
around.
Just be playing games instead. Doesn't matter.
I'll be visiting our nation's capital.
Companionship's what matters.
Springfield. You conflated it with your day job. I was like, he's going to secret location for secret things. Like, wait, that's not a flyer.
As part of his job, he's going to the White House. Yes.
That's right.
Hunter is a federale, and we just
there's a reason I don't talk about my job.
Right.
That's right. Secret day job.
And it now you spoiled it. Thanks, Cody.
Man, what the fuck did I do? See, I didn't even want to come back. Y'all made me come back. Here we are.
If we don't do it today, we don't do it next week, and we haven't done it in 3 weeks.
No, I'm being facetious. I'm very happy to be back.
We're happy to see you.
Have we not been on soundboards, I was just going to come in and go, "Hey, what up, boners?" it's just stuck in my head, man.
Oh, man.
Rent free.
Ass dicks. Is that how you're going to be talking now?
It's too crass for me. This woman is too crass.
She's made it personal, and I won't stand for it. All right. So, in case you guys missed it, last time we played... Oh, sorry. I was jumping ahead.
There. No, go ahead. Nah. I want to hear you do the recap. Where you at?
All right.
What do you remember about last session, Shannon?
Well, all I remember is that they put the chair against my face. And
a damnable memory to keep, buddy.
It's we were on our way to Sanctuary, and then we got pulled over by some wolf cops. And then it turns out the wolf cops were actually working for Strahd, who made his first appearance officially. And that's where we ended.
Yeah.
That's a Star True. Trek.
Wolf cops.
Oh, I'm changing Cody's name right now to Wolf Cops. Don't worry about it.
Oh, sweet. It's a mid-season replacement for fucking Herman's Head on Fox.
I'm curious, Hunter. What was his name?
It was Lil Shotgun Dick. So,
So I missed that one. I hadn't even noticed that one.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Don't miss out on, I know we might not have a chance to say these names because in the time we're going to do another new episode, they're going to change.
Just hit Kyrgyz and get it out of your system.
It's Cumrat.
Yeah, there it is.
Bill?
Yep.
For the record, I also like Steven's top five dicks in the Black Shack. And Hunter, don't forget about the Hardlander. That's
Hardlander. We just watched the gang gets invincible too, and so when I saw the dicks in the Blackjack, all I can think of is Frank. We're just out here like a couple of dicks in the yard.
Couple dicks in the yard.
Oh my god. Right. The illustrious group chat, it never ends.
Green Man's saving my life right now, bro.
You can dance with the McPoyles and it's fine. Because Green Man is slaving your life right now, bro. Lizard.
God damn it.
Am I standing in poop?
See, we joke about all this, but honestly, I very much appreciated Shannon being the Caligula Diaries.
The Caligula Diaries.
I still like that one, too. I have no idea where that came from.
I was going to ask. I wasn't around when it came up.
And we were playing something on Xbox Live, and someone, I said Caligula Diaries, and I don't remember why, and we were all just like, Hunter said, yep, well, I'll be right back.
Well, mm-hmm.
As there most of these.
Which I've also started doing at my day job, and they know. They know why I do it. And occasionally I'm asked to read some of those names, and I go, I will not.
Nope.
I will not tell you although, what.
This is wrong, Bob.
Zach Kyrgyz's name is Cumber.
Some of the safer ones, though, you could tell them is Kaz is the 30th Century Carousel, which is a good one.
What does it mean?
Jesse Kimball is White Porch Fence.
That's a good one.
Tanner is General Smuggy Puss. And I think my favorite one right now is Asa, Bird of a Different Caliber.
He's a bird of a different caliber.
That's right.
Damn it.
That was just you in our first D&D campaign with Cody.
That was a bird of a different caliber, yeah.
You were.
Yeah. And then
goddamn
Chris Pine grabbed me and slammed me through a window. I didn't know what was happening.
Jonathan.
Jonathan. Oh, excuse me. Jonathan.
Is he still alive? Yeah, he's breathing. All right, let's go.
You were potted.
That's good shit, pal.
God, it's a good movie. If you haven't seen the D&D movie, go watch the D&D
definitely
movie.
I watched it again last week. Actually, last Tuesday night when we didn't have a session, I watched it with Emily, who hadn't seen it until then. She liked it.
I should say the new D&D movie. There's been several, but Honor Among Thieves.
Specifically.
It's honestly
a cheat method, and I watched a group of YouTubers I watch regularly react to it, so I got to rewatch most of the movie.
It's been a good summer of films. If you guys have missed out, Mario, Evil Dead Rise, D&D, Renfield was a lot of fun. It's been a pretty decent year. So
Guardians 3.
I haven't seen it yet either. Movie of the year so far for me. Oh my god, it was
even
so
above
good.
D&D.
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's close in the sense that the D&D movie was really, really good, but Guardians 3 is that, and it's the culmination of, like, a series of movies that were really good. I mean, the Guardians trilogy is hands down the best trilogy in the MCU.
I wouldn't
argue
with
that. There's no comparison.
Ooh.
Yeah, no comparison.
The only one I would say would be
Cody
close,
has a
maybe Captain America.
See, Captain America.
Yeah.
Captain America's close, but the
first one
Civil
was
War
weak.
Is not really a Captain America
That's
movie.
That's the problem.
Avengers
That's
movie.
The problem is that Civil War is more of a
See, I like
that
first
cast.
Movie. I like the first Avenger quite a bit.
Emily hates it. I love it.
I liked it. I just didn't think it was good. Winter Soldier. When you're going up against Winter Soldier, it makes everything look worse.
But the problem is you're talking about one incredible movie amongst three good movies.
Right,
three of the Guardians movies are top tier. Yeah. I mean, bam, bam, bam. There's no weak spot in there.
Right. And that's why I just need to watch 3. We just haven't had a chance to go to the theater to see it yet.
It is painful. Man, speaking of and God, I know we got to get started, but like speaking of stuff coming to an end, in the past 2 days, we have watched the finales too. Barry, Succession, and then I forgot the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel ended. So we watched the finale to that today. So I'm just on an emotional roller coaster for the past 24 to 48 hours.
Well, Hunter Hendricks, buckle the fuck up because it's time.
Oh no.
For D&D. And
is this our finale as well?
This could be our finale tonight.
But every episode could be our finale.
It's true.
We're terrible at what we do.
Okay. So now that we've gotten all of it out of our systems, I mean, we're catching up. It's been 3 weeks. Happy. It's good. It's good stuff.
It's a 10-minute pre-show.
Yeah, it's all right. Any questions from where we're picking up, I guess, at this point? How do you like us now?
That is a question. Cody, can you answer that for me, please? Can you answer yourself?
I can speak both as myself and as Strahd von Zetovich. I like you guys now. Oh. I don't know that he does.
Shannon, you also had a question for Cody before we got started, if I remember correctly.
I do. Cody, is there a way to escape the dungeon without using the wizard's key?
Yes. I would like for you to roll a perception check right now with advantage to determine if you can.
Let me see.
All right, he's going to do that real quick.
First roll is a 2.
Cool.
And second roll is a 12.
Unfortunately, the floor falls out from underneath you and you perish.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you.
Great.
All right.
It's just Eric Andre.
That's what
we are.
Oh, dude, if we could turn this podcast into an Eric Andre style madness, I'd be fine with it.
How is it not already?
What are you waiting for? You guys, again, I've said it multiple times, tongue in cheek and otherwise. Every episode I'm aiming to make into Rapper Warrior Ninja.
Keep freestyling.
We come in and Shannon just looks at Cody and goes, "He's just a cute little potato bug.
You little mamacita."
I'm about to bust my ass.
Cody, it's time for the rest of the episode.
Okay.
Damn it, I couldn't hit it fast enough. There we go. All right.
Great. All right, great. So to pick up thematically where we left off, and I have no way of getting us into the scene other than just jumping in.
Well, let me help you real quick and tell you about the encounter I had last night with a spider.
No.
All right, we'll save it for another
episode. Shit, I thought Shannon did that. I was like, did you cue that music up for this spider encounter?
Yeah, I was waiting for the story. It was so dramatic.
I appreciate that you have enough confidence in me, the man who is petrified of spiders enough to not even play Skyrim consistently to run a spider encounter.
So I'm going to bed last night. I got all my shit in order. Oh, God. And I look down at the floor, and there's this little thing on there, and it's not moving, and I thought it was a dead spider. So I get close to it, and I like blow at it to see if it moves, and it starts walking. And I'm like, oh, you a live spider. And I'm like, okay, well, what kind of spider are you? Because there's two kinds of spiders that invade my home, brown recluses and wolf spiders, and I'm cool with wolf spiders. So I grab my cell phone, and I turn the flashlight on, and I get real close to it and start shining at it. I'm like, what are you? This motherfucker rears back both of its front legs and starts walking toward me. And I'm like, oh, he's pissed. He does not want to know. So I ended up putting him in a bottle and releasing him outside. I think it was a wolf spider. But yeah, he was not having it.
Shannon, he picked up and said, "You do not belong here."
Yes. he was not responding to the pageantry.
He wasn't.
No.
He gave you an ocular pat down. He didn't clear you.
No, he registered me as a threat. All right, Cody. Go on with the dungeons.
Yeah, I'd certainly love to try. And try is the operative word in the sentence for tonight. So
I think this might be something anti-Semitic.
No, I would rather not. Thank you, though. I really appreciate it. So, to rewind about 10 seconds, I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to review where we were at. Grodd was in a wolf form. And as he howled to call off the wolves around him, he stood up and started to transform into this regal, pale, slightly pallid, but still ornate entity. You know, he stands about 6'3". He has on a full chest of armor, the widow's peak, but the black as night hair all the way down to his shoulders. It's the very well put together visage of Strahd von Zetovich. And he looks at the party again and says, "Allow me to introduce myself. It's been far too long that you've been here. I am Strahd von Zetovich. What business do you have in Barovia?"
Just here for the sights, you know, trees.
I'm gonna pull out my whip and look at him and say, "You know why I'm here."
We were all armed, though, right? I mean, because we were literally in the middle of fighting.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Then I'm going to point the whip
at
him. It
was that glitch moment where his whip's already out, and then all of a sudden he pulled it out again.
No. No, we
got two of them.
But yeah.
He's got Elden Ring, the double whips.
Oh, Cody, yeah,
it's a Halo 2 weapon cancel.
Cody, can I do that? Can I have two whips like an Elden Ring? Anyway. But yes,
you're in the future, but not right now.
Well, I might not have a future because I'm going to threaten him. I'm going to point the whip at him and say, you know why I'm here, you monster. You don't belong here.
Given that I don't know who this is other than by name only, and Rasmus has been getting a little more, I guess, friendly with the group as opposed to like trying to ingrain himself. So blocking these wolves with a shield, he's going to look at Aiden there and just go, friend of yours?
And I'm just going to glance back at, is it okay, Cody, if I assume he knows who this is? Is that okay?
Who's he? That Hunter or that Rasmus knows who it is?
That Aiden knows who it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. No, you being a monster hunter, having sought this individual, I'll give you three guesses and the first two don't count in terms of who this person is. Like, gotcha. I have a feeling you're pretty confident.
What's that, Cass?
Is there any of us here who wouldn't?
Most of, I think you and I might be the only two that would
be the
yeah,
only.
See, I, yeah, that's what I was going to operate under the assumption that it's just you two.
Yeah,
and just a point of order: am I the only one having trouble hearing Cass?
He's a little.
He's
low.
Very low.
Yeah. Yeah, the music also is pretty loud.
Yeah, I'm gonna crank that down. I was wondering if it was just that.
It's cool, but it's very.
Yeah,
it's overpowered.
It's coming in hot.
It's coming in real hot.
It's bringing in real hot. Point.
There you go.
Yeah, there we go. Better. Where you were, right? Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
So Aiden would look over at Rasmus, just kind of glance toward him and say, just in a very solemn way, no joking, just, this is Strahd. That's all he says.
And then that's all I need then to turn back and adjust my grip on my mace and go, I should have seen that one coming.
And then Aiden goes on and says, this is the monster that haunts these lands. This is the monster that takes people. This is the monster that I came to Barovia to slay.
Then let's quit talking and slay this monster.
He looks Aiden with your verbose speech here. Monster. You think me a monster? He looks at you, Bjorn. Looks at you, Zephra.
I just pull my coat apart.
He looks to the wagon.
Pull it.
Irina, please, let me see you. Let me speak to you.
Is it that brown box thing?
Yes,
box?
The brown box is the wagon.
Okay, that's the wagon.
Aiden steps forward, whip drawn, still pointing at it, and says, you're not speaking to anybody, monster. You steal men's souls and make them your slaves.
As much as I want to do this, I'm not going
to
do this.
I know. I just had to throw that one in there. And then also, I was
he looks at you and mutters something about miserable pile of secrets.
And I assume Bjorn would look at him and say,
see, that's what I was waiting for
that's
somebody
exactly
to say
what
at
I
some
said.
Point.
Yeah.
Word for word, and the way I said it.
Erwin is trying to fix that wagon wheel, and he's just like, oh, what a terrible day to have a curse.
Man, how am I going to get fired on my day off?
Are you building a fort?
What was Strahd stealing boxes for? There you go. Kaz is role-playing.
Yeah, he is.
That's all I'm doing. I'm just looking at
you.
You've got
to pop that shirt off, though, if you're going to do that.
Should have popped
that shirt off.
So Strahd... Continue. Yeah, there he goes. So, again, Strahd doesn't seem imposed or threatened by your current stances, your current preparations. Monsters. You believe me to be a monster. Look at you. Are we all not monsters here? He looks at Bjorn. A man who cannot control himself becomes a bipedal wolf. He looks at Zephra. You cloak yourself to hide the blue that covers your skin. He looks over at the Mardukovs. You, They don't know about you. But they will. And as if to kind of, again, for a moment, ignore the rest of you. Irina! I tell you. You feel a concern. You see me as a monster. We are all the monsters. If we allow ourselves to be, we are all the monsters. Come. I will keep you safe. I will give you care.
It's an easy proclamation to make for the guy in charge. Make a monster out of me, why don't you?
Oh. Fear not. He looks toward the sky and kind of surveys you. Rasmus. This land makes monsters of us all. Give it time.
Just the fact that he's talking back is enough to kind of like, I don't want to call it stun me into submission, but it's more of a, I'm not used to being talked back to like that.
Yeah.
And so Rasmus just kind of like bears his shield back, beats his mace against it, and hunkers down, like steadies his feet.
I'll look at him and say, not only a monster, but a coward that hides behind his minions, that hides in his castle, that hides in the darkness, afraid of the light.
I believe, he looks at you, Sir Valmont, you misunderstand. There is no light from which to hide here. This land is shadowed, covered, obscured. I fear nothing. I simply bide my time and bear out the existence thrust upon me. You, however, come into the darkness. You son of a bitch, I'm trying my best. Trying to find something. Someone. And yet aligning yourself with those you profess to despise.
That's my trick. I despise everybody. And then I'm gonna run at him.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
I want to be able to throw it as you run by. I want to be able to like toss you into the air, but that's just a dream.
Okay. Like he said, it's a dream. It's a fantasy he's had.
He wants the fastball special with you.
Yeah.
I'm looking across this like this battle scene, and I'm just like envisioning what different people are doing, but they're not actually doing yet.
It's probably because you haven't eaten in 67 days. You need to eat a sandwich before you do any of that shit.
I had a piece of lettuce in about 2 months ago, so now.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure he ate a guard earlier. I'm almost positive.
I did have some sustenance.
I think he's
got plenty there.
Yeah, he's got plenty.
You see that in his stomach? It ain't there.
Mm.
Oh, okay, God, so, I don't like this. You're running at him.
Shannon, yeah, so you're running. And mind you, you've got a straight line.
Yeah, that's true.
What are you gonna try?
He's not really thinking this through, honestly. I'm not playing this for the record for the people listening. I'm not playing this from the perspective of trying to beat the game. I'm playing this strictly from what would Aiden Valmont do in a situation like this? Here is a guy who is obsessed, who is, you know, full of himself because he thinks he's this great monster slayer. He sees his target. He's going to go for it. He's tired of talking. He's, you know, enough talk. Have at you. So,
out of curiosity, can I still hybrid form or is that off the table already?
Nope. You guys haven't long rested yet. Or wait, is yours long or short? Excuse me. Let me look.
Short.
That. Yeah, you would have short rested on this travel.
So, I like what Shannon's going or with, where Aiden's going with this. Because as he goes by, I want to just kind of like put my hands up for a second, just like a hold up kind of thing for just a moment. And then I'm just like, fuck it. And I just convert. He swings up into the hybrid form. Can I do that out of character or do I need to be like in something?
Well, I'll let you do that. I'll ask. We'll treat this as a surprise round. So Aiden is moving. I would presume readying a turn is how we're gonna mechanically make this work. You're going hybrid form. Rasmus and Zephyro, what do you two wish to do in this moment while a man is on the move?
For the record, I want to ask if because the way I had it envisioned, I didn't say it out loud, but as he's running at him and he was doing the whip thing, can I still channel divinity, or do I need to, would I be able to do that? Because I figured as he's running, he makes the whip magic, it's glowing now, it's the light he spoke of, and that's when he's rushing at him with this glowing whip.
Channel divinity you can, but it is an action, so you would not be able to attack this turn. You can charge in and channel your divinity into the whip, but you won't be able to do anything with it this turn.
I'm going to pass on that, because okay. I feel like I'm only going to get one shot at this. So,
I'm backing up, not out of like fear or concern for Strahd, out of concern for Irina. So I'm going to back up to the wagon. Actually, I'll move myself. I'm going to move back to here to keep an eye on her.
Okay,
that's kind of where my mind goes also, because he's obviously calling out for her and we're supposed to be trying to help her. So
yeah, as it stands, she's currently inside the wagon, but Rasmus, as you come around, if you make it around that corner, you kind of see her head peeking out.
Okay.
And you see a very chilly, neutral expression on her face. Like, she's aware of what's happening. She knows who this is. And she's kind of in a bit of shock. She doesn't know how to react in this moment.
Okay. Remind me again, amongst you all, on a scale of 1 to whatever your max HP is, where are we sitting?
I'm good.
On a scale of half.
On a scale, I'm -3 scale points.
There you go. That was eloquent. I like it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Let's give it up for Shannon real quick.
He's -3 scale.
If I've got an action to spend here, the only thing I got back from my short rest was my channel divinity. So, oh, I'm feeding back on myself. Why am I feeding back?
Is that the music?
Why am I suddenly hearing myself? Yes.
I've got that muted. I can't hear.
I don't know what's going on. Anyway, channel divinity. I can restore 20 hit points across the board. I'm giving myself 10 of them. I'm sorry. I'm half dead as well. I'll give Aiden his 3 to get him back to max, and that leaves a remaining 7 for Bjorn.
Okay.
That's the only thing I'm spending my action on other than moving.
Headphones come out on me. Cool. So for this move, as I'm turning form, I'm assuming like we're still in like battle, right? Like that we didn't really like because we rode for initiative and all that exists still.
Yeah, we haven't done that yet. But that's what we're going to do here now.
Oh, I didn't realize like the battle.
He interrupted it.
He interrupted the whole battle, so this would form another initiative.
Yeah.
If we were to.
Well, essentially, the way that Strahd has presented himself to start, he wasn't looking for a fight's a strong phrase, but he wasn't proposing in preparation to like strike at you all. He was simply conversing. It's your reactions that now is going to instigate a fight, seemingly.
So with I'm assuming this is all wolves around, and I as I'm like hybrid forming out, I'm turning around because I was facing Aiden. I'm turning around towards Strahd, and this is all kind of in one kind of move. As he transforms, he just kind of screams out, "Back up!" Like really, like as loud as he can, to like the surrounding wolves, as a kind of I'm being attacked by kids. So, like, go to your room a moment to try and see if he can back them off or, like, affect any of their next moves.
Okay.
And also, Kaz, why isn't your headset on?
My battery just went out.
Oh. Because every time you talk, I hear the music pouring through. It's odd. You just mute you can mute the music in the Roll20.
Yeah.
That's what I did. That way,
I can stop the music. That works too.
Well, I mean, the music's fine. I you know, for the audience listening, I didn't want to, you know. I want both those guys to feel secure.
So Bjorn in wolf form is bellowing out to try to back off the wolves. Zephyra, you've backed up to the wagon. Is there anything else you are seeking to do in this moment?
No, but I'm keeping my crossbow out, so.
Okay. Okay. Rasmus, Zephyra, you two notice specifically that Erwin Mardikoff has essentially set down the tools that he's using to repair the wagon wheel. You look, and it's a job that seemingly is almost done. But he is well aware of what's going on. And so you see him kind of reaching toward the bench seat on the wagon front where his sword would have set. And kind of pull it toward himself. Though you notice if you spend a moment longer looking at him, it's more of a defensive pose.
Oh yeah, I don't expect anything less. I don't want this guy running in and getting himself killed.
Bjorn, you bellow to the wolves. They lurch forward slightly, kind of to put on the balls of their front feet for an attack stance. But you see a couple of them look back at Strahd, who gives a very sharp whistle and throws back his head. The entire lot of them walk away from the battle.
Except that blue one. Oh, never mind.
I suppose I can reveal a bit more of this map.
I feel like Bjorn in that moment would have been like, I did that.
Mind you, the map is more of the same, but this batch of wolves kind of, if you were to picture the terrain of this map, it's more climbing up a hill, kind of a slow incline or a slight incline, and those are kind of pivoted up toward the tree line, making their way nearby, but not involving themselves in the fray, at least as it currently stands. Oh well, the dead body notwithstanding, that one's gone.
They took him back with it to bury him.
Yeah, they dragged him back to bury their dead.
Or eat him. Or eat him.
Por que no las dos? You can bury bones.
Yeah. Could be
as
two
my
things.
My dog barks, perfect timing.
Could be two things.
With that being said, all of you have prepared your kind of, you know, put yourselves in your places. Strahd looks at all of you and just says simply, do you truly wish to do this?
Oh, my eyes answer. He sees it in me.
I am very hesitant on this, but I'm already like zeroed in, watching the situation, waiting for an advancement as opposed to being the initiator.
I'm not attacking this guy.
I'm just like ready.
I am defensive state. I'll take that title. Yeah, I'm fully trying to make sure that the wagon wheel gets repaired and that we get out of here as soon as possible. I'm not looking to fight this guy right now.
Okay. Yeah, that's.
I will, but I'd rather not.
Right.
I mean, that's part of why, you know, Aiden's doing this is buy time, not just like, I mean, it's go time.
Okay.
Wolves and whips.
Then with that said, let's roll for some initiative.
Now, since I charged at him first, I get a plus what?
You know,
he gets advantage on initiative.
I'll give you a plus one.
Okay. I appreciate that. So that would be 18 altogether, technically.
Okay.
Because I already had a plus one to it.
Oh, no.
Well, if you're going to burn a one, that's a good time to do it. Three. A combination of one and two, Cody.
I got 16.
What is your first attack? It's Barovia with a dollar sign in front of it.
and in double Strahd, I'm going to bloom.
Whatever you say. Okay. So yeah, that's all of you.
2-1. I got a combination of 2 and 1, too.
21.
2-1.
Shannon, what did you say yours was?
18.
18. Zephyra? 16. 16. I see yours. What was yours with the modifier, Hunter?
Three.
Okay. Oh, yes. Of course, three. Duh. And Strahd.
Combination 3 of 5.
Yep. Which that is actually also, works.
Which is also Cody's name in the chat. Threeve.
True.
It's true. Threeve. And actually, that works fairly well because he was going to wait a little bit.
Now I'm pretty sure we all gotta die.
No, I'm gonna be like Jesse in Elden Ring. I'm gonna one shot him, Hunter.
Oh, see, I thought you were gonna say you're gonna be Jesse in 10 candles and snap in your own neck.
I don't think I have to worry about that. I think someone will help me.
I feel like with a 21 initiative, like a part of me wants to just spend all of my moves on just grabbing Aiden and throwing him into the carriage and trying to like get away. While he's in the air with his whips, I just with my big wolf palm, I catch a hold of the back of his shirt and then throw him into the carriage. I just
down boy.
It's another one of my battle like it, dreams.
My big wolf palm is one of my favorite weapons in WoW. It's, you know,
if we didn't already have wolf cops, I would name someone my big wolf palm.
It's an evolution of the name. You could just change that one.
That's what the wolf cops use. They use their big wolf.
Oh, their big wolf palm. Oh, that's true. That makes sense.
Yeah, to create justice.
It makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Say create justice.
Create justice.
Jesus. All right, Kaz, what the hell is Wolfman going to do over here?
Oh, shit, I do actually have to do something, don't I?
I mean, you can certainly try.
Man, I ain't got much faith in the fact of that happening. So, fuck it. I lob off a bolt at him.
Wolf bolt.
We have discussed this, that as a hybrid transformation, you can still use weapons, which is a peculiar thing.
It is, because imagine this dude. He transforms into this giant wolf and just, and then just grabs his crossbow and he wins.
Crossbow.
What's the point? It makes his trigger finger stronger.
That's right.
Exactly. It's all like, in the wolf paw, man.
Freak, it's like you got protein. Your gun on you?
Yeah, where's the goddamn Strahd?
All right, pop off a bolt.
16.
Yeah, that's a miss.
Yeah, this is gonna
figure,
go well.
I figure his fucking, I gotta hit like a 29 to make this happen. So, with that, yeah, that's about it. If I back away, bad things could happen, right? Am I too close?
No, you're good. Okay. You're outside of 5 feet.
Okay, cool. Because as I'm popping that thing off, I'm like getting a little bit back here.
Yeah, mechanically, I've shrunk his tile. Here is where he is realistically. I just wanted to make sure it was oversized so you guys could see the character. Okay.
Yeah, about this point, so I do have some self-preservation going on, backing up, as I watch Aiden just, like, whisk by, and my next move is, like, see what happens.
Is regret a free action?
It absolutely is.
Regret never comes without a price, though.
I'm about to pay the troll toll. He's about to get in this hero's soul.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Let's see here. So Bjorn's done his thing. It's all you. What are you trying to do?
Bjorn's right. Like, Aiden runs forward and jumps up in the air. Right before he jumps up in the air, he kind of looks back at Rasmus and yells out, "Get him out of here." And he does this cool little, like, jumping spin, and he spins around with the whip, and he's going to take a whip shot at him.
Whip shot.
Whip shot. That's what it's called officially.
Yeah,
That's
the down B in Smash for
that's
Simon.
Yeah. That's up, up, down, 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 down. Yeah.
Left, right, B. Yeah.
And it's a nat 20 to start it off.
Okay.
The last one.
And it probably still misses.
No, it hits.
Oh, thank
you. It hits.
For one damage.
It don't matter. Look, thematically, this is exactly what it needs to be. Aiden, seeing his enemy, rushes toward him,
tries to be the hero, tells everyone else to get out of here because he wants to make sure they're okay, does a cool little move in the air, comes down with the whip, and hits as true can be. That is just, no matter what happens to him, that's just the perfect way it needed to happen, and I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's, so we said max damage on that, which for your whip is...
2d4 plus 5.
2d4 plus 5. Okay, so that's 13. Gotcha.
And I guess I'm whipping him from whatever the farthest distance I can, because I'm not stupid. So how far would that be from where I'm at?
That would be 10 feet. So you would be here, approximately.
Okay. That's where he lands in. Runs, jumps.
Somewhere in that horizontal row.
Right. Okay.
Wow, that's redundant.
And, okay. And then he just, as he lands and he whips, he kind of he's doing that thing almost like that superhero pose where he kind of lands kind of kneeled a little bit, and then he just like looks up at Strahd with just fucking fire in his eyes.
Strahd looks at you, rubs the part of his chest that you popped with the armor, gives that smirk.
Kaz, you got a ghost thing in the background. I saw it. All right, and that's it for me.
Okay.
Heroic.
Zephra, you're up.
Well, seeing that attacking has already happened, I'm and that he landed the hit at that, I'm going to go ahead and cast Ice Knife to attempt to attack as well.
Okay.
Yes. Double checking my stuff because I haven't done this one in a while.
It's been a while.
I can hold my head up high.
It's not going to hit. It's a 14.
It will not.
And otherwise, I'm just going to stay where I am.
Okay. So you do that ice knife. You give it a throw. Strahd is hyper aware of everything right now. And you get a feeling that in this first encounter, the phrase "more than just a man" like makes sense conceptually. Like, he's this demonic entity, or at least he's been presented as such to you, the lord of this land, this nefarious place. This is the first time, Zephra, you get the feeling that's not just storytelling. It's almost as if he is a part of this land incarnate and kind of knows what's going on. And maybe has some things that tip him to that. Okay. As you start, Aiden, kind of looking up, that fire in your eyes, you see that ice knife come by, and Strahd almost, you know, shadow moves out of the way just ever so slightly as it goes by. Whatever slight... the strike you made doesn't seem to impact him. It's almost as if it didn't happen.
Just wave that one away.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, he kind of wiped at his chest where you hit him in that armor with that whip, a good piercing or slashing blow. And you just see that smile again, because he seems unfazed by it. He looks at you, Aiden, and he's intrigued by your willingness to step up, and says as much, just freely says, "As a monster hunter, I expected a few things. Brash, haughty, desiring to end all evil. Thus far, you do not disappoint. Perhaps I will not either." He looks at you, but instead of moving toward you, he is going to... he's on a double move. spoiler alert, for those of you that are not have not played D&D much, some characters have legendary actions. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
I'm glad you told me that, because I didn't know that.
Yeah. Strahd has a few of those.
Okay.
So he is going to move with his full movement. Yeah.
He's going to be standing at the top of the next tree.
Oh, no.
No, he's coming to us.
Yeah. He's going after Irina.
No?
No.
Not quite. You see him... You see him move. And Aiden, from your perspective, it's almost like... I made the joke about a shadow kick like Johnny Cage. You feel like there's that blink as he moves by. That he is capable enough to move... in phases that almost invisible or imperceptible to the naked eye. And he puts himself very quickly on top of this wagon. He passes by Irwin before Irwin has time to even react and puts himself nearby Danica and reaches out.
Hey, what was that last part?
Reaches out, has her by the neck.
Oh, that ain't good.
He looks at all of you now that he's close to all of you. And he is aware of who is inside this wagon. You call me monster. You call me wicked. You call me many things. But I tell not word of a lie when I say we are all monsters here. Mardukov. Do what you must. And glances over at Danica. Where she goes. Rasmus, what do you do?
Okay, so he's like sitting beside her basically in the wagon and has her by the neck?
More standing beside her and has her by the neck, but yes.
Okay. What is her reaction a typical one? Like, is it a fear? Is she in pain?
She is startled, but from your perspective, now mind you, you're kind of back on this covered wagon, but you don't hear any, like, pleading, at least, like, incessantly. You don't hear, like, the clawing like you would have of someone's arm as they're, like, being choked. It's surprisingly more relaxed than that. But for those of you, the three of you that certainly have perspective, Zephra being closest, you see Irwin, his hands a little bit shaking on that blade, and he's looking directly at Strahd and Danica, the rest of the world be damned. And you notice the same thing, specifically that Danica, her eyes have widened. There's a bit of fear in them, but she is doing everything within her power to not show it.
I'm going to get Irina out of there. I don't think there's anything I can do in time to do anything about what's happening up there. I don't have a ranged weapon pulled. I don't think I can knock his grasp away, so I'm going to get Irina out of there.
Yeah.
And my goal basically is going to be to move her as far south as I can get her. Into the tree line on the right to give us some cover.
Okay. You're currently, like, it's not contested. Like, she's going to willfully go with you.
Okay.
So I'll let you kind of direct where you plan to move in this.
Yeah.
And I'll kind of move her character with you.
I mean, I can only go so far anyway, but I can get to here. So as long as she ends adjacent to me in any of those, preferably here, so that she's further away and backed up against something a little more.
Yeah.
Because
I would consider it for her 5 feet to get out of the wagon. Then she's got her other 25 feet of movement. So she's well capable to get there.
Okay. And I mean, guys, again, I have no spells. We have not rested at all. I had that channel divinity, and that was it. I can do next to nothing right now. So, I mean, hell, I guess technically we can double move. Is this all just tree cover? Is that what we're looking at here?
Yeah.
Get us further in. Yeah. Just keep her adjacent to me right there.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the goal.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Bjorn, you're up.
Hmm.
The three of you that are in the current view of Strahd, you see his eye, like if you were able to get a view full on of him, you could tell his eyes kind of shift in the direction that Rasmus and Irina go. But he currently stands in his position with Danica subdued.
Yeah, so from my perspective, I can see all this happening inside this thing.
Yeah, I mean, your perspective is this is like relatively flat terrain. It would be like bushes and whatnot that you're currently standing within. 15, 15, 20,
20. Like, even if I move forward, he's still out of my range. And he's holding her by the neck, so that's not really. I feel like if I attack him, it's going to break. It's going to introduce him to attack her. So if Rasmus is backing out, I think I'm just going to back away as well. Just kind of get some cover because I don't feel like there's anything I can do about what's going on inside that thing in that carriage. So I'm just going to use my move to back away and get cover on this side.
Okay. Then that's all? That's all your action?
Yeah, because I...
No, that's fine. I just want to clarify.
I feel like battle is really going to get us out of this, and I don't want to take a shot at him for risk of hitting her.
Okay.
So I think that's going to be my move, yeah.
All right. That brings us to Aiden. Aiden, before you do anything, as Bjorn kind of moves toward the tree line and Rasmus is making his move as well, Strahd, again, you hear a bit of a chuckle tone in his voice. You start a fight and so quickly decide to flee it. You call monster and yet you still don't see the ones in front of you. Mardukov, I tell you again. Do what you must or I will do what I need to. Aiden, your turn.
Man, you put me in a bad position here because on the one hand, this Mordekov guy, like, it's like that Simpsons episode. That little guy there hasn't done anything yet, and you know he's going to. But this is also is not Minority Report, so I can't attack someone before they've done anything wrong. So instead, I'm just going to... Aiden looks up at Strahd, turns around and starts running the other way and says, I'm not fleeing from anything, monster. Whip out again, but I don't think I can make it to him.
Yeah, you don't have to hit him. Your whip hits at 10 feet, right?
10 feet, yeah.
So I could so probably five, could feet, I hit 20, him from 25. Here?
So that's 20 feet of movement. I would say no, but if you move one tile further, again, because he's standing on the carriage, it'd be a 5 foot incline. So I would say let. If you're in that position mechanically because he's a level above you, you're not in line for attack of opportunity if that's what you're concerned about. But you also can attack from that vantage point because you have reach on your weapon.
Gotcha. Would I be able to get on top of the carriage too?
That is going to use all of your movement, but as it currently stands, the two, like the bench seat is occupied by these two.
Oh, they're on top, right?
If I yeah, they're standing. Right. So essentially, like, again, this is a covered wagon and the bench seat that would control, like, drive the horses or whatever they may be. That's where Strahd is standing and has Danica lifted up. So they're occupying the two spaces there.
And the horses are at the front of the carriage, though, right?
Yeah.
And they're still attached?
Mm-hmm.
And how many wheels are on the carriage currently?
Technically four. You don't know how far along Mardukov got on that fourth one.
Well, I'm going to do something stupid and crazy. No, I can't do that. I can't do that. That would be silly.
Never stopped us before.
Why do you do this to me, Lord? why do you encourage me to do this stupid things? How many horses are in front of the carriage?
Two.
I'd be lying if I didn't say I was also thinking of something like that, but then he got her by the neck and it was like, well,
that's the part, maybe
we just get the innocent one out there.
Well, that's the part that's getting me, is like, he's got her by the neck and like, I know something terrible is about to happen, and all right, can I jump on top of one of the horses?
You can certainly try, and this is where, Hunter, I think we found our perfect moment to introduce the mechanic.
Oh, shit.
Written by one Brennan Lee Mulligan from Dimension 20 fame. Listeners at home, we are going to do our first emphasis roll.
What the hell is that? Cody, what is an emphasis roll?
I got you on this. So, because I'm sure Cody is setting stuff up. Yep. So, Shannon, the way an emphasis roll works, it's a variant rule that, as Cody mentioned, was introduced not too long ago, and is becoming more and more popular for D&D, especially 5th edition. Basically, an emphasis roll, when you want to do something that is like extreme and has the potential to have a particularly good or a particularly bad outcome, like an extremely one or the other type thing, you roll two d20s, but you're not exactly rolling advantage or disadvantage. The thing is, you have to take the result that is furthest from 10. And if they are equally far from 10, like you roll a 5 and a 15, you have to roll them both again.
Oh, wow.
So basically, yeah, that's the thing. If you're doing something excessive, you are basically guaranteeing, or at least more likely to get an excessive result.
Cody, I would instead like to roll athletics.
Well, let's show you a little secret. Trying to do this is going to instigate an emphasis roll no matter what you do, buddy.
I was going to say, unless I understood it incorrectly, you are, effectively. It's just that it's an emphasis roll. So you would still, unless I'm wrong, you would still get your bonus to whatever check he's having you make.
Yeah.
It's just that you're going to be more, you're going to be more likely to get an extreme result.
Okay. You know what? Fuck it. We're here to have fun. Let's do it, Cody.
All right.
Wait, hold on. Can I tell you first what I intend to do, and you can tell me whether or not this is even something that I should.
Well, that's the idea.
It's possible. Well, I just want to make sure that, like, it's possible. You know what I mean? I don't know how to describe this correctly.
So here's what we're going to do.
Roll if it wasn't possible.
Okay.
Yeah, I want you to take me to the moment where a roll occurs. So you take me through the action that you are trying to execute, and then we will have you roll your two die to determine what follows from that attempted action.
So the idea would be that Aiden is going to jump up on one of the horses and basically smack the other one on the ass and then control the other horse. Almost like he's got both reins and he's trying to, control both of them at the same time and get them away from this situation completely. Knowing that he's sacrificing himself and probably the girl in the carriage, but she probably ain't going to make it anyway in his head. If Strahd's got her, he knows Strahd. He knows of Strahd. And he knows that despite Strahd trying to present himself as like not a bad guy, he's a bad guy. He will kill whoever he needs to kill to do what he's going to do. So he knows that this girl is probably dead anyway. And the only course of action he sees is to get them as far away from Rasmus as possible. So that's what he's going to try to do.
Okay. So you are sprinting, whip in hand, toward these horses, you long jump, like you leap off that back foot as you make your move to climb. Give me your emphasis roll, please.
So with that, do I just roll a 20 or do I roll...
You roll two 20s.
So just 20s. But so there's no bonus to them like we were saying earlier or what?
In this case, if you're using your athletics, we will add your athletics modifier.
Okay, so should I just roll the athletics out then? Or roll a d20 and add the plus 5?
Either one's going to be the same outcome. Okay. So I say you can roll your athletics twice.
All right, so here we go. First roll. It's going to be... Well, it's an 8. You said it's the furthest from 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. First one's 8.
Okay. Second one would be a 19.
As the furthest from 10.
I can't describe to you that I actually have sweat in my hands right now.
No joke. That's good.
No joke.
So, paint the rest of our picture. How does the action proceed after you leave your feet?
So he jumps up, he lands on the horse on the left, he grabs the reins of both of them, and looks back at Zephra and just smiles at her, knowing that this is it for him, probably. Like, there's no way in hell he's going to get out of this alive. He just kind of smiles at her and nods, and then grabs those whips and cracks it and screams, "Yeah!"
Okay. And then,
hopefully.
Need some coconuts.
Oh, hold on. I got it.
Yeah.
Well, not quite, but...
Those are crickets.
Zephra, you see all this play out in that 6-second moment. Go ahead.
For the record, I just want everyone to know that I am also currently designing my next character. I want them to know that while... We're playing. I'm getting that ready. So, go ahead.
So, Zephra, you see this happen in real time. Aiden boards a horse, throws the reins with a yell, and this wagon lurches forward. The wheel that was next to Irwin in the first couple of revolutions that you see as your action comes up mechanically, the wheel is on. But it doesn't look like it's feeling great. But it's currently rolling as they move forward. As the movement happens forward, it's only maybe a couple of carriage lengths, if even, in this first 6 seconds. You look at Irwin, who just screams, "No!" What do you do?
I need to make a decision on what I want to do. Because that threw off everything that I was contemplating doing. So.
I'm a hustler, baby. I'm a hustler.
I'm trying to hustle me. I'm the ultimate hustler.
I guess I'm going to ask Irwin real quick, is there any chance that he's not going to kill her? Because that's the way I see it also, is that, like, no matter what we do, he's just going to either strangle her or snap her neck.
You get the first couple of words out of your mouth. Do you think, and as you're saying it, Irwin's already on the move?
I honestly don't think I'm going to be much help against them, and I'm gonna just kind of go with what Aiden was wanting us to do, and I'm gonna make my way back over to Rasmus and Irina.
Yep. So, again, in that first couple of moments, oh yeah, the hell with the outline. Good boy can't draw boxes to save his life, apparently. That move, again, mechanically, it's only like the first like 10 feet or so in that first 6 seconds. Like, they're not, you know, full gone because the system hasn't allowed full turn to happen. But as that moves forward, you hear that yell of "No!" and immediately goes, Rasmus, because of your position, go ahead and give me Go ahead and give me a perception check. Because you're hidden in the tree line, and I'm not going to put any words in your mouth. I would presume you're still trying to keep some sight lines to the action.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I want to know what's going on out there.
Yeah, so I'll give it to you with advantage.
Oh, well, that's a 13 plus 6 is a 19, but let's see if I can do better. Okay. I did it at a 14, so 20.
Okay, so 30, 20. Okay. So you and Irina, who rolled a 15, are going to be able to see this.
Okay.
Aiden, so you're driving forward. Like, we're seeing
the wagon.
Yeah, so you off, see right? the wagon go forward, Aiden and all of this happening. Okay. Bjorn, because of the relative thinness of the trees you're in, I'm not going to have you do it because you've got a different sight line. All of you, except for Aiden. Aiden, you're moving forward. You see this wagon start moving. You see Irwin take two strides to keep pace. Aiden, you specifically hear a raspy kind of a choked, "No!" The rest of you are slightly familiar with what's happening. The Blood Hunter among you particularly. Irwin takes those first couple of strides. And you see him move out his arms. In which they become encloaked in black feathers.
I knew it. He's a goddamn Inuyasha.
He spreads out. You hear a cry, and he starts low-level gliding, as it were, from your perspective. I would like for all of you to give me... Yes, that is what he is. He is
He's a duckman.
Yeah, he is duckman. I would like for all of you to give me a... Yeah, let's do a history check.
First off, I need Cody to admit he loves when I do crazy shit.
Oh, yeah. No, as a deep... We'll talk off the air, but I've got a couple thoughts about it. It's okay.
I got a 16.
Okay, he's so got 16. Some thoughts on different races.
12? I'd like to hear those.
No. 17 total.
Okay. Bjorn, a 12, because you rolled history. Do you have advantage on history? You do. I forget, you have the weirdest advantage rolls.
Yes.
Like, investigation makes sense, perception makes sense. Religion, arcana, and yeah. All right, cool. Aiden, what you got? What'd you roll?
12.
Okay. Bjorn and Aiden, given your histories, your lineages, you know of... transforming entities. Obviously, your hybrid transformation, Bjorn, you have some familiarity, maybe not with this in particular, but you know of it. Erasmus and Zephra, you both are aware that this is a were-raven.
Were-raven.
It is a hybrid form.
Shit.
Am I in the Anita Blake universe now where there's just were of everything?
You banging?
No, we knew this. We knew this to be a thing. Those ravens that we've been seeing, we thought that they were following us.
Oh.
Yep.
It was in my notes.
I remember them.
Wrote it down.
They were just birds. They weren't bird people.
You don't know that?
I don't know that he is a bird person, is he? Did you say he turned fully
bird? He got feathery and it started flying.
He's a hybrid.
He's halfway there then. But again, we literally the phrase were-raven was used with us. Two ravens had been following us for some time. Yes, Bryn, who was one of the Valaki, or the Vistani, suggested they may be were-ravens.
Mm-hmm. I guess I missed that whole part where I blocked it out.
That's why I write things down in my notes.
I don't know where I put my notebook 3 weeks ago.
That's
even for the DM who sometimes forget he uses keywords when he shouldn't.
Hunter, that's that you know that's so Raven.
Get out. All right. Not even the one I wanted to leave. God damn it.
Twice. Twice tonight you sent me out of here.
Did I send you out the first time? How do you like us now?
No, I meant Shannon. That's twice he sent me out of here.
Oh, that's fantastic.
How do you like him now?
Can't assume that a were-raven is going to do much good against Strahd. Because you're a bird. If you can poke his eyes out.
He is very distinctly in a hybrid form right now.
They used to be dinosaurs. You don't underestimate them.
He's got legs.
Wow.
It's a raptor.
Is that what birds sound like, Kaz?
Kaz, why does everything make cat noises with you? Bunnies making cat noises. Rats make cat noises.
Hey, it's
ravens.
All cats. It's brown, man.
Ravens. It's all cats. Crowd, interestingly enough, though, for him, cats sound like chickens.
It's true.
It's weird.
That's also true.
Can you tell that to the one that's yelling outside my door, then?
No. Yeah, just go.
Bark.
Yeah. Bark. Okay.
Why does it go burk?
Is that what a chicken says? Is burk?
Burk. His maniac is no longer confined to Call of Duty.
Yep.
Do they sell it? No.
Okay.
In my world, they do.
In my world. Cody, please go on.
Yeah. Please go on with the Strahd.
Yeah, I'll get right on that. Mm. Oh, my God.
Burk.
which is Shannon's name in the group chat now, by the way.
There you go. Yeah.
B-E-R-K, Burk.
Burk.
God damn. So, Aiden, you are, you know, thrashing these reins as the horses go. Again, mechanically, you guys have probably, you know, I'd say another 15, 20 feet due to it being Strahd's turn. So, you know, movement happens in that. And, Aiden, you almost can't believe it. You hear laughter coming from behind you.
I was hoping I impressed him a little bit.
You do not disappoint. Bold you are, Valmont. Bold. And he looks cinematically. You were driving the carriage at this juncture. Cinematically, he looks over his shoulder and sees the hybrid were-raven, Erwin Martikov, flying with all the speed he can, you know, flapping the wings to get there. It looks at Danica. Monsters. All of us monsters. You, Martikov, monsters. He does give two quick attacks. Shit.
About to fry some chicken.
Okay, then. Both of them hit.
I feel like he's about to say he killed the horses.
I feel like he, in a horror movie, he shoves his hand through the front of the carriage and out my chest. holding my beating heart.
Not your heart.
That's how I'd write it.
Not your heart.
Ooh.
If we were to, again, cinematically look at this, Strahd takes the hand that's not around her throat, slashes once, kind of across, you know, her neck, her chest, and draws blood with every finger. And that second one rears back, does it again. Aiden, you're unfortunately familiar with the sounds of death.
Oh, yeah.
Strahd Let's go. You hear the thud as she lays on the seat of the carriage. And all you hear, we are all monsters, but until I encounter this batch once more, I will have my Irina. She will see. She will see. Aiden, go ahead and give me it's going to be with advantage, just a quick perception check. Actually, what's your passive perception? 10. Okay, yeah. Yeah, your passive perception is 10. That's enough. It's not being, you know, done. You look back as this carriage drives forward. And mind you, you are approaching the wolves as they had been kind of called off. If you look back, you see the drop of Danica to the carriage seat. You kind of vaguely hear Strahd. You assume he's speaking to you, and in fact, you don't hear him over the sound of the horses, but it's almost as if you hear him inside your head saying that. And after that, he turns into a slight cloud of mist. He starts moving toward the northeast, or northwest, excuse me. And as a group, the wolves do the same. They all make their way away. Seeing as for the rest of you, you are well far back, we'll kind of skip through the first turn here. Aiden, what do you wish to do? Strahd is gone. The wolves are gone. You think you know what you've seen behind you, and you certainly heard the words inside your head.
But I know for a fact he's gone.
You know he, at least not in the way that you can catch him. Yeah. So I said, in that mist, he turned to that mist form. You kind of see it go fleet nearby you, but moving northwest. But it's a movement speed where you don't feel any confidence you're going to be able to get to him.
So even if I I don't know how it would work. I'm going to say he takes one horse, unlatches it or whatever, and gives chase. In my head, again, I'm just trying to figure out what the character thinks. He would know from his knowledge that he's not going to catch up with this guy, right? Like it's hopeless.
Yeah.
Okay. In that particular case, then he would try to stop the carriage, and slow it down, knowing that it no longer, you know, is going to go anywhere good.
Okay. So even in all of this, as it goes fairly quickly, you've probably made it to the periphery of what you have seen thus far. And not that there's much left, but I'll go ahead and reveal the rest. Let's see here. There we go. Maybe. My roll 20 is acting kind of weird tonight. Are y'all getting areas revealed?
No.
I'm not, no.
Nope. All right. Yeah.
It's just the darkness of space.
Yeah, I'll refresh roll 20. Spoiler alert, it's more woods. It's not much. It's about three or four more tiles of a wood path. So.
Jeez.
Mystery maps reveal maps.
That's right.
I'm alive, fool. Which, by the way, another programming note. That, Hunter, you remember that that skit, the guy that played Tupac in that skit, the one that goes, I'm alive, fool, also does a lot of stuff with Mike Diva, who's one of my favorite directors. He works for SNL now. And that guy, it's Josh Haraway, he has a new show coming on Hulu about the life of Tupac Shakur and his mother.
Say his mom, yeah.
Yeah. We are now friends on Facebook and are in talks to have him come on the show. So
good.
Very exciting. Very exciting news. Nice. Been a fan of the guy for a long, long time. So I really want to get him on the show and talk about his career. So look forward to that.
Yeah.
Tanner's not the only one that can get guests. He's just the best at it. Legitimately. That's not even a joke. He really is.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So for whatever reason, the borders of this map decide to break the fog tool. So that's real cool. But you get the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've slowed down the wagon kind of as you reach the edge of these trees in this area. You said you bring it generally to a stop?
Yeah. Okay. Like, just slowly to a stop. And he's just kind of staring forward, breathing heavy, because Strahd got away, and he knows what's in the back seat behind him.
Do you even look?
No. He knows what it is.
It doesn't
Andy
take
knows
long.
What's coming.
It doesn't take long. You hear a couple of flaps, and there's not a sound effect to it, as it were. But as that the flaps kind of slow down and come to a quick stop, if you look back, you kind of see the shift back into the human form. As Erwin just comes up to the wagon and just looks, and you hear a catch of his breath in his chest. Just gods. Danica. He just, it's barely above the ambient noise. Just Danica. And you hear more catches of his chest, catches of his breath, and you hear the sobs start to set in. He climbs onto the carriage. He climbs onto the carriage, and you hear him sit down next to her, kind of lift her up. We'll pivot back from that to the rest of you. What do the rest of you do in this moment?
Well, can I throw one thing in just really quick?
Absolutely, by all means.
So Aiden is, he's a paladin. I mean, technically, you know, mm-hmm. So as he's back there holding her and sobbing, he does start to recite some holy words, some kind of comforting words. I'm not as good at this as Hunter is. And Aiden isn't as good at this as Rasmus is, but because Aiden is more of a weapon of God as opposed to a, you know what I mean? Like, Rasmus is way more of faithful and protective, and Aiden is more of God's hand. He's God's fist. So, and for better, lack of better term, but in this moment, he does close his eyes and kind of speak some words. Even if no one can hear him, he speaks some words about what's happened. And okay.
Okay. No, you absolutely do. In this, there's no actions by Erwin currently to like receive these words or to like try to tell you, like tell them to keep away. You can tell he is just currently consumed in this moment.
I imagine all of this is far enough out that there's no way for me to see what specifically has happened, but given that Strahd is gone and the carriage has come to a rest, I mean, I would encourage Irina to come with me. I'm going to make my way back out to the road at least.
Mm-hmm.
To see what's happened from there. But I don't think in the time frame we're talking about, I would have enough time to like start running up to the carriage or anything. That
I mean, as it stands, and we're talking game mechanics, you know, initiatives come to an end, so you're free to do as you wish.
Well, I mean, I'm gonna stop here. I was gonna say, is before she moves along, then and then assuming that the other two of us that are back here are gonna,
yeah,
are gonna,
I would have
come
followed
out,
dude. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing a similar thing. Like when I'd went out here, I was kind of like trying to keep some distance between us and the wolves and stuff. But in being away, coming back in, I think I had probably a little bit of sight in what happened. So kind of in a weird, like out of character for Bjorn sense, As he's walking back and kind of coming out of the woods with the others, there's this kind of like sense of morose, like he's kind of converting back into human form, putting his hat back on, but very kind of like there's a sadness in the air, and he's not disrespecting that, even though it's something he would usually do. Like this particular moment is like pretty impactful.
Once it's clear that something is wrong, then I'm gonna like quickly turn to Zephyr and tell her, take care of her, and then run for the carriage.
Yeah, which I would have nodded and stayed back with her unless she wants to.
I'm about to say, Irina immediately kind of, not to be rude, but she sidesteps you and sprints.
Ah, shit. All right.
It's like a lost puppy.
She's her own person. I can't tell her what to do. I'm just trying to keep her from that. I feel like that's enough for me until something else happens.
Yep. I mean, it's as the party approaches, if you all kind of come around the perimeter of the carriage, you would come upon the same scene I described to Aiden. Danica, barely for lack of a better phrase, eviscerated. And Erwin holding on to her, just kind of sobbing but trying to compose himself around all of you as the gathering happens. And Irina's going to come over, kind of bound here, but wants to get kind of near to the front to see Erwin. So she moves between Aiden and Zephyra.
Does it rain often here? Because I feel like this is a moment where it would just start raining.
It rains more often than not around this place, so if it's not now, it will be soon. If you remember, there was some terrain that caused some rain that kind of led to the wheel happening in the first place.
Yes, yeah. I feel like this is like that kind of moment where it's just going to get sad.
Yeah. Erwin looks at all of you. You can tell the devastation. Yet, Rasmus, you and Aiden specifically, and I would say probably Rasmus more than Aiden even, you notice that look that comes from a soldier who has lost somebody they care about. There's that hurt. There's that remorse. But there's also that showing of their posture of their eyes in Erwin that kind of invokes, I knew this was a possibility. This is part of it. And he looks at all of you. And he looks at Irina and says, Zarevich got his wish. What he says is true. We are all monsters. In some form, in some fashion. No matter how many of us try to use it, try to hide it, try to utilize it for something worthwhile, the pain, the grief, the hurt, the end that finds such forsaken entities finds us all. And he looks down at Danica. Even those of us who don't deserve it. And he looks at the party. My family is land. She is my wife. She is not of my blood. But that is where she must rest. We've left Valaki. I know not if I have a home to return to. And if I do, it is not with the one who built it with me. I have much to tell you, but again, Lord Strahd was correct. We are all monsters here. That's where we cut it off.
Yeah. That's where it should be.
That's pretty fucking depressing, but epic at the same time. That is the Empire Strikes Back of our story.
How do you like us now?
Son of a
God
bitch.
Damn it. Ruin I didn't do
moment.
It.
Ruin a moment. It was you. I heard you.
It's just son of a bitch.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Cody.
Listen here.
Sorry. It's like all apologize for Cody.
I'm the world's most mediocre ventriloquist with technology.
And I'm sorry, Dan, too.
Well, ain't no rest for the wicked round these parts. With the loss of a traveling companion, more questions than answers, and the reveal that yet another group of trusted compatriots have secrets that they hide, we bring this episode of Curse of Strahd to a close. I will go ahead and just point this out for all of you. I know that because of traveling and whatnot, we've got a week or two before we're going to have another episode. I would like all of you to go ahead and preemptively level up your characters. So go ahead and move up to level 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get into what that is mechanically in the next session. But to save, obviously, the real-time way we play this game, go ahead and make those steps. If you have any questions, let me know. But that is where our characters find ourselves. And to our audience, I'd like to say thank you. I hope your patience is rewarded. As noted at the beginning of this episode, if you fast-forwarded a little bit through our chaotic introductions as they are, we will not be having a session next week. Riddle me, for those of you that are here, are we back on after that week, or is it 2 weeks that we are off again?
I should be good consistently after next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same.
Okay. Then we will have a 1 week hiatus for traveling and enjoying time away from our region here in the middle of the country, but then we shall return to yet somehow a more desolate land of Barovia for the next Curse of Strahd episode of PZ85 Plays. But that is not all, at least for the next day or two, here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. Shannon, Hunter, go ahead and let us know. I know there's probably discussions to have tomorrow and a previously unreleased episode to be released Thursday while everybody's putting up their characters in Diablo.
Well,
yeah, Shannon, let us know, bro.
Well,
let us know, bro.
Well, Hunter and Cody, I'm glad you mentioned that. We will have a PW tomorrow. There actually did happen. Some things happened, Hunter. We had NXT Battleground over the weekend. We had WWE Saudi Blood Money Volume.
Sweet Saudi Blood Money.
And then, of course, AEW had
Double or Nothing.
Yeah, there it is. And
so, basically, the women's divisions of all three of those groups have drastically changed in the course of like 48 hours.
Yeah, we have a new champion in WWE. We have huge storyline progression. And then, of course, things here and there we'll talk about. Along with that, on Thursday, as Cody alluded to, we will have an unreleased episode of After Dark in place of a new episode, although you haven't heard it, so it's new to you, while I alone play Diablo 4. Wow, when I say it like that, what a dick. And then we'll be back. You know what? Oh, actually, Hunter, when are you leaving?
So we hit the road. Well, technically Saturday night, we are going to see Steve Martin and Martin Short in St. Louis.
Show
at the Fox Theater. That's Saturday night. And then we hit the road on Sunday. And then I won't be back until the following Sunday.
Well, I actually open this Friday and will be free Friday night. So shall we horse before you go?
Yeah, some horsing around would be good.
Kaz, are you horse adjacent?
What day is this?
Friday. The same time we always horse.
Well, is it Saturday?
It's not.
But I am. And I'm
good. All right. So, PW tomorrow.
Yeah.
PW tomorrow.
That's PWU.
After Dark on Thursday and an all new horse time on Friday, Cody.
I'll see if I can even dust off the saddle and see if I can ride up alongside.
Please do.
Hey, seriously, between now and the next like 24 hours, tell me what we're doing for the cold open and I'll make it happen.
Okay.
I just need a template, and I'm make the script work.
I'm thinking something Jim Brewer related.
See, I was thinking the opposite. I was thinking Hurley Boy.
I know it's gonna be Goat Boy. Damn, Jesus. Anyway,
<Yep. laughs>
all right. Goat. That's all we got.
God, yeah, no better way to be a downer emotionally and then mentioning Jim Brewer again. Just keep taking us into the ditch. That is it for this episode of PZ85 Plays the Curse of Strahd. Thank you so much for listening wherever you may be. Again, PZ85 on all of your favorite podcast apps, podzilla1985.com. There's a subreddit somewhere. Go find it. You'll have some fun content to enjoy. Again, no episode next week, but we'll be back to pick up where we leave off, as ominous as we have left it. For Bjorn, a.k.a. Kaz, for Rasmus, a.k.a. Double H, for Zephra, a.k.a. Lindsay, and for Aiden, a.k.a. Shannon, I am Cody Sandusky, your Game Master, saying thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you soon.